Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Welcome back to Defined by Moments, where we now turn our attention to the latter part of Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 11, because this really offers the thesis of this entire section, and you'll see what I talk about in just a minute. But Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11 simply reads, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." This latter part of the verse about the concealing of violence goes back to what we talked about in an earlier episode there in verse 6, where in this culture, someone that was a criminal that was convicted, they had their mouth covered so that they could not speak. So it is interesting here that we see that, you know, a mouth of the wicked, their mouth is covered. They have been shuttered because of the things that they have done. But back up and look at the first part, where it says that the mouth of the righteous, it's a fountain of life. As a kid, I used to spend time with my grandfather during the summer, and he was a janitor at the local church that we attended, so I was there with him. I got to know every part of that church. Well, I remember one summer that they were building this little, you know, cement and rock hut in between two roads just across the street from the church. And I watched that being put up. And when it was finally finished and opened, my grandfather and I walked over there because we didn't really know what it was. Well, come to find out, the road actually split in that section for a little while and then came back together because there was a natural spring there. It was a fountain of water that continued to come forward. And I remember as we walked in there, you know, my grandfather had a cup and we dipped that water and it was just beautifully good. It was cold. It was just great. Well, I recently went back and visited and took one of my kids there some 30 years later, and there's no way I would ever drink that water, because people have thrown trash in it, it is dingy, it is dirty, and that is a wonderful image here, that our mouths, the things that we say, our talk, is either a cool, refreshing fountain of life, or it is a polluted and dirty something that no one really wants to be around. And ultimately, the deciding factor in whether our mouths are one or the other, it's our relation to wisdom. So what you will see in the latter part of this section is a contrast between the righteous and the wise and the unrighteous and the foolish. So Solomon has laid out his thesis right here and right now. The righteous is a fountain of life. The wicked, they are shuttered. They can't speak because everyone already knows what they have done. So let's go through this and look at the contrast. Verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. The righteous and the wise, they love others. They don't love themselves more than others. And that aspect of love covering offenses means that it overwhelms. It clothes. It surrounds. It's that aspect of, I am choosing to love others by swallowing my pride, and that leads to forgiveness. But what do the righteous or the unrighteous and the foolish do? It says that that hatred, the opposite of love, just like, you know, foolishness is the opposite of wisdom, hatred stirs up strife. It awakens it. It excites it. Just as the fire seems to be dying down, someone throws a fresh log on it and it rages again. So are you a fountain of life or are you the source of strife? That's a question that you have to answer for yourself based upon your own speech. And if you really want to get to the answer of that, talk to the people that know you the best and ask them, give me 100% honesty, my fountain of life or my source of strife, and then listen to what they say. Look at verses 13 and 14. It continues this theme. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the fools bring ruin. The righteous and the wise, you see wisdom shown by their talk. You see that they are storing that up in their life, they're learning, they're meditating, they're thinking upon it, and then eventually people will hear that. But the exact opposite is for the unrighteous and the foolish. Everything that they say leads to punishment. We see that there's discipline at the end of verse 13. At the end of verse 14, there's ruin. Your words make a difference. Look at verse 15 and 16. Again, it's not just it's the source, but there's action, and now we get to an end result in verse 15. A rich man's wealth is in his strong city, but the poverty of the poor is their ruin. The wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. The end result of righteousness and the end result of wisdom, as shown by what is spoken, that reveals the heart. The end result is life. But for the unwise, ruin is the end. That Hebrew term means terror, destruction, devastation. That is not an image that I would ever want to have in my life. You're headed to devastation, Joel. That would be awful. But that is what is presented here. And it's our daily choices that end in our life's deciding points. That's where we've got to make sure that we focus on this. And take a look at verse 18. Notice what it does. It shifts instead of having a righteous and unrighteous comparison to only focusing on one. And there's a reason for that. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, but whoever utters slander is a fool. So the unrighteous conceals hatred. In other words, I present to you that everything is perfectly fine. When you leave, I hate you, and I just absolutely tear you down in front of others. That's concealing hatred. But there's also, what happens with that is you're uttering slander. You are talking bad about that person when they don't have the opportunity to be able to defend their reputation or their character. That shows a clear lack of wisdom. And why is this being taught here? Go back to the end of verse 15 and 16. Verse 14. The mouth of the fool brings what? Ruin. It's ruin. It's the end. Well, the end result, that ruin comes about because of self-inflicted wounds, that we are showing that we are unwise by our words. Verse 19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent, they're wise. The righteous or the wise speak few words, and their value and nourishment is what comes from those words. But when someone loves to speak a lot, what ends up happening is there's no value. It's always about them and what they want, and they need to be the life of the party. They need to be the one that everyone is listening to. But when you start doing that, often you find yourself in trouble because you're exaggerating a story or you're telling an untruth, and then you really get called out later on. One of my children, my wife and I have both had multiple conversations with him because when he gets angry, when he gets in that point, he will not stop talking. And the more he talks, the worse it gets. And then once we're able to de-escalate the situation, and sometimes there has been correction and discipline administered, it's like, son, the issue is you needed to stop talking. That shows wisdom. That shows prudence. That shows control of who you are and what's going on. But instead, if you just keep pushing through, what happens is you make things worse. It's something that we're trying to teach him as a child, but you know what? It's something that we as adults need to know and understand as well. That thought is continued with verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is of little worth. Those that are of few words, man, it's like precious metal. Those that speak all the time, it's valueless. Skip down to verse 31. We see that the mouth of the righteous bring forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. We have something that speaks wisdom, and again, it's valued. We have those that speak ill, and eventually are going to be cut off. And then verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked, what is perverse? That term, therefore, acceptable references what is good, what is a delight to others. And on the flip side, that aspect of perverse, it's fraud. So think about that. The unrighteous and the foolish always speak fraud, things that are not what others believe it to be. It is my hope and my prayer that that does not describe your life, nor does it describe your leadership. And you're thinking, Joel, we skipped a whole bunch of verses. Why is that? Well, all of these kind of associated with the talk. But now we're going to back up and go into them, to these that we missed with verse 23, to see sometimes a motive that happens. Why do these things happen? Verse 23 says, doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. In this verse, the righteous and the wise, they see that wisdom is satisfying to them. But on the flip side of the coin, the foolish and the unrighteous doing wrong, it's just a joke. It's just a laugh. It's no big deal. They don't understand the seriousness of this. And that goes back to the matter of the heart. Look at verse 27. The fear of the Lord does what? It prolongs life. It means that you're going to grow. You're going to add, you're going to continue, you're going to join. It's not that you're necessarily going to have a long life to live 120 years, but there is joy and life added to your years that comes from the fear of the Lord because you know what you should do. That's wisdom. And then you apply it. That's wisdom again. But look at the latter part of the verse. It says, but the years of the wicked will be what? They're going to be short. So those that are righteous and wise, and they show that by what they say, they have a long-term focus. Whereas those that are unwise and foolish, they have a short-term focus. Let me be the life of the party now. Verse 28, the hope of the righteous brings joy. Man, in wisdom, there is hope. But the latter part, the expectation of the wicked will perish. Hope gives joy. The only anticipation that the wicked have is nothing. It's going to be angst. It's going to be disappointment. Hope is an incredible gift of God that comes as a part of wisdom. But those that reject wisdom reject that hope, which means their life is filled with chaos, with anxiety, with worry. Verse 29. The way of the Lord, that's a wise, that's a righteous way, is a stronghold to the blameless. There is strength in living that long-term focus where you have hope. But the wicked will not dwell in the land. It means they're going to be overthrown. They're not going to have a home. Why? Because it's all short-term. And they spend a life filled with worry. My friends, the talk here, the aspect of you're either wise or you're foolish in your speech betrays the heart. So a couple of lessons that we can learn. Number one is if your walk and talk do not match, the baser of the two is who you really are. In other words, if you talk about God, you talk that you live a godly life, but yet your life shows that you don't care about His word, you're not wise, you go and do things that God is clearly against, then who you really are is the lowest standard. So when we are here talking about this comparison between the righteous and the wise and the unrighteous and the foolish, whichever you say you are, if it doesn't match your walk, whichever is the lowest standard, that's who you really are. So I would encourage you to spend some time looking into the mirror of God's word, looking into to your life, to see, is there a match between the two? And if there's not, where's the lower standard? That's tough. But it's truth. If your walk and talk do not match, the baser of the two is who you really are. Number two, habits come from how well you hear the truth. Let me say that again. Habits come from how well you hear the truth. Look at verse 17. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life. So it's not just that you hear it, but you are implementing it. You're acting it out. You're creating those habits. But he who rejects reproof leads others astray. Both the wise and the fool have an opportunity to hear wisdom. The difference between the two is that the wise hear it and then they implement it. The fools sometimes will flat out refuse to listen, but even if they do, they still go the other way. You have a choice. That critical choice of what you do with God's truth determines your next step as well as your long-term future. Solomon is being very clear here. One pathway is a fountain of life. The other pathway is going to lead to your destruction, and you're going to take others with you. Thirdly, our dwelling is determined by our dependence on the divine. We see that very clearly in verse 30. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. Simply put, our dwelling, where we will spend eternity, is determined by how we depend upon God. If we reject God, as we just talked about a little bit earlier, with the truth being offered to us and our habits don't change, then our eternity will get exactly what we want, an eternity without God. But if we listen to that truth, and if our talk and our walk match, and we depend exclusively upon Him, then we have an eternity that we will spend with God. We look at Proverbs and we just often think, oh, they're cute, quaint sayings. Yes, we could apply those in our lives, but we fail to dig in and see the important truth that is here. So let's go back to the example that I started off with that fresh spring that the city built that structure around. It has a tremendous opportunity to offer fresh water, but when it gets polluted, it's got to be cleaned. You and I are the same way. When we are polluted and when we're tainted by the sin in our life because we refuse wisdom and we live and act the way that the foolish do and choose the path of unrighteousness, there's only one way that that can be cleaned, and that's by turning to God. He sent His Son to reconcile the broken relationship and offer us redemption. So my question to you today is very simple. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Does that describe you? Verse 17, whoever heeds instruction is on the path of life. Does that describe you? Or, unfortunately, are your choices leading to the latter part of verse 17, that he who rejects reproof leads others astray? My challenge to you is simple. Look into your life. Figure out, are you the fountain of life? Or are you leading others astray? Because then it goes back to who you really are. And if you don't like who you see that you are, God offers hope through His Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not too distant future, and you take care.